I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here at Guitar Nerds, we're massive fans of StringJoy guitar strings, and you should be too. StringJoy, if you don't know, are the world's first true string custom shop, but they also do a whole bunch of standard sets made to the same super high custom shop quality. And one of my favourite things about just how lovely Scott and the team are is the StringJoy reward system, a bit like a Tesco club card, but cool. Every set of strings you buy earns you points. Each pack is worth a dollar in points, and you can save those dollars and put them towards anything in the StringJoy merchandise store, which, when you have a bucket of guitars and you're always restringing them, makes for a whole bunch of points and thus free merch. It's just a little thing they've set up to say thank you, but I think it's testament to just what a super bunch of people they are and how deserving they are of your string business. StringJoy strings are available at stringjoy.com and at 400 plus dealers across the globe. If your local store doesn't stock StringJoy yet? Ask them to. JD.
Hey, Joe, what's up?
What does Santa suffer? Well, wait, first of all, it's definitely Christmas time now. It's December, all the shops are playing Christmas songs, and that means I get to do Christmas dad. Oh,
love it.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, here we go.
All right.
What does Santa suffer from if he gets stuck in a chimney?
Oh, I don't know what.
Claustrophobia. Yes! Yes. Hello, dear listener. Hello and welcome. Welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by JD Short.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, JD. Hello, dear listener. Welcome. Welcome aboard. Welcome aboard this, the 45th episode of this series. We've had, for the first year ever, a few missed weeks. I mean, maybe we had a couple in the past, but I feel like I was more aware of them this year. So apologies, dear listener, for a slightly shorter profile of podcasts in this season four, although it should be something like season 10. We only started doing seasons after whatever it was, 7 years of 6 years, 7 years of podcasting.
It's just nice to make sure the math never makes it easy for anyone. They always talk about doing this for a decade, and it says on season four.
Yeah. Mark Packham was so annoyed that we started doing seasons, because he was like, but you could be on episode 800 by now, and that would sound so much better. And I was like, oh, yeah, he's probably right. He's always right, you know. Better at this than me.
He is often right. The other thing, though, is that, you know, I'm just going to go with it, which is how all great podcasts go. I believe that we're still getting new listeners, people finding out about the podcast for the first time. And it's incredibly daunting to hear episode 800 and be like, ooh, you know, it's like, when do I want to go back? Like, what are you going to do? Go back to a pre?
Yeah.
What didn't exist at the time?
Yeah,
was Strymon a thing then? I don't remember.
Strymon, I don't think were even in existence when the first Guitar Nerds podcast came out. No, that's true.
What This is probably one of our reflection episodes that we can do. Not this one, but an idea for shows. Like, what has changed today that from when Guitar Nerds started, even you know, when it was the four of you, you know, from GAC and stuff, even those days. But
I mean, there was no Helix when we started out. Helix. I mean, I remember us doing an episode with a fella called Jay Dore, who later became Matt's boss, Matt Knight's boss, when Matt Knight moved to Boss. And then Matt eventually became, you know, his job role. But we had Jay Dore on board to talk about the Emmy 80. I think it's the 80. Yeah. Wow, it might even be the 70, but I think it's the 80. We had him on board to talk about how innovative it was as a foot controller. And I know the ME 90 is still very innovative, but it's a niche thing now. We talk about it's innovative if you're old school and you need knobs on your pedal board, you know, whereas back then it was like, it's an all-in-one solution. Before Helix, before, you know, Fractor was probably still around then, but it was so exclusive at that point, you know, before any of those foot controllers, before Neural DSP or the like.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely before the Soul Food and before the, you know, like any sort of mini pedal power supply, you know, like all the
hits. Think at the time, I didn't have a switcher when we started off. Yeah. I was probably using a Stag pedal board. I had no switcher. I think I was probably using a Voodoo Labs or maybe a T-Rex power supply, like a Voodoo Labs 4x4. That's what I was using.
I used to run two of the Voodoo Labs. Yeah, what was it? The pedal
Mondo, the Voodoo Labs Mondo.
Mondo wasn't that when I started. Yeah,
that was a game changer. Yeah. 10 years ago, that was a game changer. I got Tim, the guitarist in Polymath, one. It weighed so much; it's the size of a brick. But I'm like, dude, you can stop bringing three power supplies.
Yeah, yeah, you can have one point of failure, but luckily it never fails. Yeah. No, I think my board around that time that you started was, I think that was probably when I had like a massive, it was all Moog and Mootron. Like, you know, cause it was like had the Moog, the Mooger Fogger ring mod. And
I
then
feel like the
with
few...
like four expression pedals for it.
There are only a couple of years in difference between the two of us, but I feel like you managed to excel to an extremely professional pedal board way before I did.
I always really loved pedals, and then I one of the bands I was in, I stopped using any effects that I couldn't do my. This is the thing that I had in my brain. I was like, I don't want to do anything that I couldn't just actually do myself whilst playing. So you
could do vibrato and tremolo.
I only use octave and chorus. Those are the only two effects I had. I didn't want distortion. So there was the band that I was in that we lost a guitar player and we just decided not to replace it. So it was like bass, drums, and the singer played trumpet and auxiliary percussion as well. And it was just me overplaying like loads of stuff, like loads of two-hand tapping and chords and stuff. And I didn't want to do distortion because that just seemed too obvious or, you know, and it was era of loads of just like Morphine was big at the time. And, you know, like trying, and I didn't want to be compared to Morphine. And so I was like, I'm just going to have a chorus. And so it was just that EBS, Octabass, and the Dan Electro Cool Cat and a tuner. And the Cool Cat's that was when I was still running the two big stereo rigs. So I had the two 810s and split on stage left, stage right, and the Cool Cat, all coming. So it's like, I still have it and it still works a treat. And
I think if I could start guitar purchasing again now, I'd only buy Dan Electros, but I'm too deep.
Yeah. I, I think about this every once in a while. Like, I was talking about it with Matt, the singer guitar player for Belta Lauda, and which is great because he's listening to the pod now and has really
is he? He's a really great guitar player. Yeah, yeah. I love how punky Matt is. Dear listener, if you've not checked out one of JD's many bands, Belta Lauda, they are an excellent adventure down modern punk rock. Tonally, very, very awesome.
Yeah, it's great. And but also, I've, you know, we have a thing like Matt loves Harley, like Harley Benton guitars, and you know, it's like, and like all this stuff that's like really great that's out there that I'm, you know, I'm a bit too far into like boutique-y everything and right. real niche. So it's like we have very differing like pedal boards, but now the gap is closing. And he's basically like we spend a lot of time talking about pedals and stuff now, which is great. So that's pretty cool. I don't remember where I was going to start, where that was going.
I'm sorry, this, did I throw you off?
No, I just you said nice things in the middle, and it threw me, and then I just don't know. I don't know how to recover. Never do it again. No, it's fine. Also, if anyone in the UK wants to buy some vinyl, I have some here, and I'm happy to ship.
Belta Lauda are a great band, dear listener. Yeah. Do check them out. Yeah. If you love this podcast, dear listener, check them out. Yeah. Actually, speaking about how we started this podcast episode, talking about, I guess, podcasts and how long they've been lasting for, and talk about loving this podcast, I've been absolutely hammered this week, dear listener. We got no one reviews stuff anymore, you know, like on like Spotify doesn't let you sort of review stuff, which is fine, but Apple Music, you can still review stuff, and it's all linked to my phone. Like every social media platform is linked to my phone, which, let me assure you, dear listener, is terrible if you have any form of anxiety. And you know, I don't talk about anything on this podcast, but dear listener, I have had an atrocious year in my personal life, and that I got absolutely hammered last night. Like, look, not drunk. I mean, I was just like, oh, a message on my phone. Oh, it's someone reviewing us on Apple Music, telling us that we're awful. And at the same time, I think I had, like, on Facebook, one of our posts, a post I made of the Gibson EB6. Do you remember what that we saw? On Facebook, that post just got picked up, you know, and it just gets it occurs on lots of people's walls. And someone said something about the, you know, oh, I bet it doesn't intonate at all, you know.
Great, and, classic.
And I just forgot. I just wasn't thinking or looking at the fact that it wasn't in the safe confines of the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook. It was on general Facebook, and I sort of made a comment being like, intonations for, you know, John Mayer, yacht dads. Oh my goodness! I opened up some floodgates of abuse. There have been, I don't know, like 60, 70 comments on there, mostly abusive. God damn. And then, you know, that happened in the day, and then I was out in the evening. I was like, oh, my phone's beeping. Oh, someone telling me, and specifically, and I'm going to adjust to this, they were saying that we don't talk about the subject matter. This was amongst other things, dear listener, that we don't talk about the subject matter of the podcast until the last 10 minutes. And the reason for that is I don't name the podcasts until I'm listening back to them. And I tend to only remember the last 10 minutes and be like, well, that's the name of this episode. So that is the genuine reason. But for that reason, sorry, go on.
No, you go ahead. Sorry, I was just being huffy.
For that reason, I really want to, even though we've got 12 minutes in and this is probably already too much guffaw, I want to dive straight in. I want that person back because, you know, they commented through the Apple podcast review, which means that they get that wonderful anonymity. But I want them back. So we are going to dive straight into 13 minutes now, straight into the topic of the week. That's right, dear listener. We're not messing around here. We're talking about the topic of the week. And that topic of the week is Christmas stocking fillers. This is, and the title of this podcast will probably be Christmas Stocking Fillers with Guitar Nerds, episode 45. Something like that. That would be the title.
How about Christmas Stocking Thrillers?
Yeah. Even better. Even better. I like that title.
It's a bit crap, but you know, ta.
Yeah, there you go. Even better. So JD and I are going to talk about the things we think, because, dear listener, it is nearly Christmas, or the holiday season, as they say in America, JD. We're nearly there. It's the end of the year. It means it's time to treat yourself, dear listener. Or if you have loved ones who are like, what can I get you this year? And you're like, I have everything I need. Well, maybe you don't. And JD and me are going to point out a few things that we think you should buy for yourself or get other people to buy for you, because accessories.
Also, I just want to say, no one who's listening to this podcast, certainly this episode, is thinking, I have everything I need. And if they are, it's for the most fleeting of moments. And it's the same thing as like, oh, I think my pedal board's finally done. It's like, is it Clarence? Who's going to get a new pitchfork in a week's time?
Well, that's it, isn't it? If you're listening to a guitar podcast, the chances are you cannot slake the thirst for guitar gear. So, Christmas stocking fillers with Guitar Nerds. We've got a massive list of things that we think would be an excellent purchase for you, dear listener. I can't not start this, JD, without talking about Music Nomad. I know, dear listener, that I talk about this brand a lot. I know also that they're a sponsor of the podcast. Don't think too much that, you know, I'm just talking about sponsors. They haven't asked me to talk about this. And actually, for the sponsorship, I approach them, not the other way around. And I approach them because, as far as I can see, they make the best stuff. They make the best gear for guitar maintenance, for guitar repair, and just for looking after your gear. Rand, who is the founder and owner of Music Nomad, just seems to be really interested in making stuff that's actually reliable, well-built, stuff that will last, you know, your tours, stuff that you can use on the road as well as at home. And things that are just designed around getting out of every situation or dealing with every situation. And, you know, if you check out musicnomadcare.com, dear listener, you'll see that there are so many big companies that support Music Nomad that are officially like, this is what we use. And I mean, I'm including Fender Custom Shop, Sadowski, Spectre, EMG Pickup, Strandberg, Kiesel, Sir, the list is Eastman, DW. You know, there is an endless list of fantastic brands who rely on Music Nomad gear because it is so good.
I just thinking about Music Nomad and stuff. So, like, when we first started talking about like sort of a Christmas stocking, like episode, or like the kind of stuff you get for yourself or you get for someone else. Like, I always tend to, the number one thing that I always think first that I think is a perfect stocking stuffer is, which is how we say it in the US, is
really
stocking stuffer.
Stuffer.
Well,
I never knew that.
Yeah,
and we go stocking filler.
Cultural differences.
I love a cultural difference. Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
I mean, to be fair, there's probably someone else being like, I've never heard that either. It's like, okay, well, I grew up in Southern Indiana and lived in California for a long time.
52 different countries.
But the thing I always recommend is, so like, I have a little mini tool set that I have from StuMac that I got. It's their Guitar Tech screwdriver set, but it's basically like a little driver with loads of different tips. It's incredible. It's basically all the different Allen wrenches sizes you'll need, all the different sort of, you know, Phillips across and flatheads, and, you know, just basically all the tools that are meant that you would need for your guitar. In a tiny little case that I have a couple of them. I've given them to friends over the years. I, you know, I they're in each of my gig bags. I sort of always have one wherever, you know, it's like I have one on the rehearsal space. I have one here. It's just sort of always with me. I was looking at trying to get some more of them. And now that I live here, it's very hard to get stuff from Stumac. Or it's just
really isn't an option for us.
Over the pond. Certainly now that shipping has just become what it is, you know, like,
yeah,
now that it just costs way too much. And so before we were looking at this, I looked at Music Nomad even before I knew we were doing this episode, and they have basically a very similar set, which is it's just screwdriver and wrench set, which is actually probably a little bit more useful, because there's loads of stuff in the Stumac one that is probably just overkill, but it's because it has like wire brush and like all kinds of stuff in it. But
this blue one that I'm holding, obviously, oh, yeah, if you're listening, yeah, yeah, you can't hear.
Oh, that one. Blue one, yes. Oh, it looks. I mean, it looks great, and it's, you know, like easy to put in, easy to fit in a gig bag, easy to put in a case, kind of. Or just chuck in, you know, your random sort of kit bag that kind of goes with you to gigs or shows and stuff. And it's great. I have some of the Music Nomad, like the diamond, like their diamond coated nut files. I bought a couple of those when I was for the Bronkoff, actually, is when I got those, because I wanted to sort of I wanted a different nut and to reseat the nut and stuff. So I bought some of those files because I know what sizes I want, so I just have some individual files, and they're really great. And it's the thing is, like, until I really started buying like tools from Stumac or Luthery specific tools, I didn't appreciate like how nice it is to have a tool that is meant for the thing, like meant for guitar, you know, because it's like, yes, you can go buy a kit from Lowe's or Home Depot or, you know, Miter 10 or wherever, if there is any New Zealand listeners. But if you're looking at those places, it's you get a tool set, but it's you kind of make those tools do the thing you want. But having guitar specific ones, it's like they're all just tailored a bit more to what you want. And it's such a cool thing. And it's, I think, for stockings especially, and for just general like small gifts amongst family or stuff too, or family friends sort of gift exchanges, it's nice to get all this stuff that doesn't really feel like normally I'm not excited about buying. I'm a bit excited, but like normally I'm not super excited about buying nut files, you know, but but it's the kind of stuff where if I got it in a stocking, I'd be like, oh, this is great, you know. And it's always those kinds of things that I think I really love this, like that the tool set, like I genuinely love it. And it's like, this is a thing I can't imagine going without, like, it, you know. And the same as the Music Nomad case, like it's a case that is as beat up as any of my you know, like cases I fly with.
Yeah,
it's seen the world.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. All my, like, do you know, I shot a little reel video just today to be like, you know, because it is Christmas stocking time, and I wanted to tell people what I think, you know, would be cool purchases. And I was trying to take videos of my Music Nomad stuff, but of course, I've owned these for 2 years, and they've come on every tour that I've gone. And so they're all, like, some of them are sun faded, and they've all got like knocks in them where, you know, where the cases have been knocked, because I have used these for every single setup for the last 2 years. And I know it seems like a silly thing, maybe, dear listener, but they, once you find a kit that you can absolutely trust, I feel like if you gig as a guitar player, trusting your equipment, and this is why I've been a big fan of the MS3 for so many years, when so much other technology has surpassed it, is that I knew it. I knew the MS3 and I trusted the MS3. I knew the effects on it. I knew that it was reliable, that it wasn't going to break, and the effects were going to sound good, you know, all the time. And the thing with the Music Nomad stuff is I think it's top quality guitar maintenance stuff. And trust me, when you're in like a bar and you're trying to sort out something that went wrong at the previous gig, and you've got about 10 minutes until the drummer finishes sound checking and you need to get something sorted, having a maintenance kit that you know is good is actually pretty important.
Yeah, I mean, it's also just like the amount of times it comes in handy for just random, like maybe not even like not even guitar related stuff, but like van related stuff, or you know, or something happens to like a laptop or whatever, and you're like, oh, actually, I can use this to, you know, to get it, you know, unless it's glued and, you know, has like a bespoke bits, you know, like that kind of stuff. But yeah, there's the thing is, what I'd say is like with the Music Nomad stuff, especially, there's just so much that's like really cool. So there's the kits and everything that I really like, and I think that's a really good thing to get for someone. But there's like they have so many wrenches or spanners, or there's, you know, like the tools that are made specifically to take the nut off of the toggle switch on a left on a Les Paul, or to take you know, to take the nut out of like a Tele input jack, or like all of those things. Like get that tool, it will forever change your life, it will forever, you know, like you know, and just really let you be able to do this stuff that doesn't, or to just be able to do this stuff, you know, like even if you don't actually use it, you know, like it's just, it's nice to be able to have it and to know that it's there. This is the perfect kind of, it's the perfect kind of thing to be able to put like, you know, something that's like £5 or, you know, like $8 or something like that, like in someone's kit, or be like, oh, we got you this little thing or a few of these little tools and stuff. We thought this would be neat. You know, it's like, it's great. It's really, I can't say enough nice things. And like I said, like, I love the Music Nomad stuff. I have a lot of it. It's great. It's probably what I, you know, like it's what I will buy when I buy new stuff.
Absolutely.
Just, yeah. So.
Absolutely, it's that. It's just a brand that seemed to be cutting above everyone. So it's, you know, they, you know, it's just really good stuff. Like, you know, we were just talking about the maintenance stuff, but they do a guitar spa kit, which is spa kit, dear listener, which is just all the all their sprays, like their polishes, cleaners. They do a fret dressing kit. I did a little video on their fret dressing kit, which has these little, you know, these covers that can go over fret by fret. They do three different sizes to deal with most frets. And then they do their frine, their actual fret polish, so that you can polish up your frets. They do a little toothbrush kit, microfiber cloths. They do a whole kit for like satin finished guitars as well. They kind of got something for whatever your situation is. You know, they've got it covered.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I think where I got into picking, I think it maybe was like the microfiber cloths or something was probably what I picked up first. And it was, I was in a shop and just wanted to buy something, you know, and was like, oh, you know, like, you know, that thing when you look around, it's like, oh, I came all the way here. I should leave with something. So get that. But yeah, they have so many things. Their fret rocker, I really like too. So that's be able to check like where you may have a high fret or what you need to use. And I have a sort of a more robust version of it from, you know, actual building world. But like being able to have like precision in, again, something meant for guitar, has all the measurements for guitar on it, has all the like stuff handy, so you don't have to go back and think like, oh, should this be 0.02 or 0.16 and kind of stuff. It's really cool. Can't say no. It's great. It's great to give and receive.
So there you go, dear listener. That's our first recommendation is Music Nomad Care. You can't really make a bad decision with what you look for from them, but honestly, if you got a lot of guitars or even a few guitars and you care about your guitars, you know, again, I approach them to sponsor the podcast because I think they make the best stuff. I think that they are well worth your guitar stocking money. Let's move on to the next thing. The next thing I've popped down, because I've made a little list, dear listener. JD and I have made a little list of everything. And we're talking about everything from small amps to cables to, you know, to power supplies, to pedal kits, to straps, to everything. There's lots of stuff here. The next thing I want to talk about is plectrums, picks. To the other side of the pond. picks. There are lots of great pick companies. Gravity Picks is someone we've talked about in the past. Hufschmidt Plectrum's a brand from Switzerland that I've been very excited about in the past. There've been a load, but this year I am very excited about Honey Picks, a brand that we have talked about a little bit on the podcast before. But honestly, if you want like a premium plectrum, you could do a lot worse than Honey Picks. The amount of shapes, sizes, grips, everything else is astounding. JD, have you checked out Honey Picks before?
I actually have. I mean, I think maybe I've played one of yours like once that right, I really like. But I mean, when we first started talking about it, and full disclosure, we said things for stockings and or things we would buy ourselves.
Yes.
Or things that we want. And so I was like, you know what I really need is to find a plectrum that I really like. Cause I've been such a fingers style player for so long that, you know, I've always kind of played with a pick here and there, but never really into it. But in the last few years, I've been really leaning more towards playing with a pick.
Well, I guess the punk band and everything.
Punk band helps. And also like some of that stuff I'm doing now, I'm just really into like the different sort of grooves and just sort of it's a fun challenge for me because it's like, it sort of adjusts the way I've been playing. When we did a Belt Alauda tour like last summer, so not the one just gone, and we were in rehearsal for a few days beforehand, and I hadn't properly prepped, so I full on blistered, and so I was like, so I relearned some of the songs with a pick that I hadn't had, so now I'm just like, no, I just always. I have much more facility now than I did then, but I still don't. I'm not quite there yet, and so I don't really know what I want, so it's tough for me to sort of to move into like, I don't know, sort of the posh plectrum world of stuff, right. You know, where it still feels a bit like, I don't know, I guess I just get the Dunlop that I had in the 90s, you know, or something. I have piles of just random plectrums, like the one I have in my hand now. I like it's Chromacast picks that I have some of theirs. I'm sure I got it NAM or something like that, but yeah, all the honey stuff looks great. I think I would really like to have posh picks.
Yeah, so. I mean they do a full range, like they go crazy posh, but you can also like their, you know, they do their Beehive range is a relatively standard pick range that can go from, you know, like 1 mil to 5. Yeah. Mill, which is pretty impressive. I love that on their website they show you the dimensions, so you have some idea of their large, medium, and small pick size, as well as the thickness. And they show it in comparison to a United States of America quarter dollar, which
great.
I don't really have any point of reference on, no. but
oh, it's wonderful. Roughly the size of a pick. Like, I mean, I mean, to be fair, it's sort of like it's, I have used a quarter instead of a pick many times. Interesting. Yeah, no, that's also, I love it that they show a quarter as the reference, but it's still in millimeters, which
I didn't think about that. That's fantastic.
Oh, it's good. I love it. Yeah.
Is that right? In the States, you're still talking about plectrums, even at that finer point. I mean, actually, for what it's worth, the imperial measuring system is obviously technically more accurate than the metric.
Yeah. Well, don't post that on Facebook and we'll have another. No, most, it's interesting. So like most picks, like the thickness of the picks are all rated in millimeters. So you still get like your 0.73 or 2.0s and 1.5s, those. But, or you get, you know, medium or medium, yes. You know, but, yes. But yeah, but it's, so there's, it's just sort of whatever's convenient, really, measuring system wise, you know. but as far as like size and shape of a pick, like I like thickness, I know how to gauge, Because I know, like, I tend to play, like, somewhere between 0.73 and 2.0s.
Right.
Depending. Right. But also, I went to 2.0s and then was like, this might be a bit thick for what I want. But I was in the Yngwie school of, like, well, I don't want any give in the pick because, you know, like, the nanosecond of timing difference it makes to me with my impeccable timing anyway is that's great. Yeah. And everything I need needs to be, you know,
I do find myself less accurate on strings with a thicker plectrum, but I don't think that's because I'm used to playing a 0.8. And I think that's probably why it's more to do with familiarity than it is to do with actual accuracy. I guess my hand is used to making those. It's weird to think that that's the case.
Yeah.
But yes, it is that my hand is used to making larger movements, and smaller movements are probably quicker, but my hand's so used to them that it means that I'm missing strings or I'm less accurate as soon as I'm using something thicker.
Since 2010, Music Nomad Equipment Care has been making premium and innovative guitar care products used and trusted every day by top guitar repair shops, guitar makers, and touring techs in over 50 countries. Pro quality but affordable Music Nomad is also the go-to for countless guitar players around the globe to help their guitars look, sound, and play their best. Whether changing strings, setting up your guitar, or detailing every inch of your gear, Music Nomad products are designed and engineered to be their best in class. From top to bottom, each product is so well thought out that it's clear their passion for guitar care is unmatched. With over 100 industry-leading products, it's hard to talk about them all, but some of the favorites are their 100% natural fretboard oil that cleans and conditions your fingerboard like no other, their Guitar Tech tool sets that can adjust just about anything on a guitar, string changing tools that make changing strings a breeze and actually fun, and they demystified the guitar setup process by developing their new innovative Keep It Simple setup, aka KISS for guitar setups. Their KISS precision gauge tool set comes with easy to follow instructions and many how-to videos anyone can follow to set up their guitar to play and sound great. And last but not least, their recent introduction of a game-changing fret care tool line, which takes fret care to the next level. Make sure you check out what all the buzz is about around Music Nomad, as they truly are redefining and raising the bar in equipment care. Learn more at musicnomadcare.com or follow them on social media with @musicnomadcare.
Yeah, I don't know. This, same. That's sort of what I feel. I feel more sluggish with a bigger pick. Like and it doesn't really make loads of sense. I also think it's my technique and being used to, like, sure, I said, like a 0.8 than it is. And I'm sure if I played with a 2 for more than 2 hours and tried to work on it, I'd be like, oh, it's fine, you know. But I don't know what I want yet, so I don't know where to spend my time. I'm really interested in trying a lot of these honey picks. And I've seen you do some stuff about honey picks, and I've been wanting to try. So I feel like this is a really good opportunity to get, like, some sort of, you know, big variety pack. Because if I genuinely, if I had, you know, like a 5 millimeter, 1 millimeter, you know, like all the different ones, and it gave me a chance to sort of, I mean, let's face it, you know, have a bit of time off around the holidays, and I'll also want to try my new stuff, but also might just want to go sit in a room and play guitar for a bit. It'd be nice to be able to try a lot of the stuff out, because I think I had a bad experience with picks initially, because when I first started playing bass, played with a pick because I was playing like my grandparents. They had like an old bass, and, you know, it was all the old felt picks and everything. And all I wanted to do was just do, I wanted to slap and do all that stuff. And it was just a big, you know, a felt pick on an old, foamed bridged, like Kent, like that variant of the Tyskos, you know? So it was,
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. It was great.
Well, I mean, if you are thinking about trying out Honeypicks, dear listener, and you don't want to get a variety pack, I can thoroughly recommend a plectrum size they do called the Honey Jar. It's designed to offer two different tips for players. So one similar to a jazz style and the other sort of rounder, a warmer, fatter sort of plectrum end, maybe more suited for bass players. But it's got those two tips and then one sort of rounded edge where you obviously can hold it, which is great. It's two plectrums in one, and you can get it from 1 mil right up to 5 mil, which is very, very useful. With great grips as well. Grips are really important to me, I think.
Yeah.
When I first started using custom plectrums, I don't know what I got. Like, I think I was with Rob Chappers at a show, and he gave me a bunch of his Gravity plectrums. And I was like, yeah, these are great. I really like them. And I tried to use them like at a practice where I'm playing for 3 hours, and they kept slipping out of my hands, because actually when you're not playing in a bedroom, a grip on a plectrum is really important.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, if you're not using whatever it's called, Duralon, whatever the standard plectrum material is called,
Derelin.
That's the one.
That's the derelict
one. Because it's matte. Dalek. Because it's like a matte finish. That plectrum material has grip, but a lot of certainly the boutique plectrums are gloss, which is fantastic. If you use a quad cortex in your bedroom, I'm sure they're fine with your Strandberg, but if you're using them in any situation under any form of hot lights where you might be playing in front of people or person, then they are, a grip becomes very, very important.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Yeah, I feel like not too long ago I did like a real deep dive into pick grips, like all the different textures and things, and the ones that are molded. Like I have a few with like rigid, like the sort of sharp grit, like ridges molded into them and stuff. And I think the other thing is like my thumb and fingers, because I'm mostly a finger style player. They're very calloused, and I sort of need something to really sort of stick into, stick into the concrete that is my fingers. So, so it's interesting. That's interesting. I'm going to pick some of these up. I mean, I say that I'll do my best because, my birthday's coming up soon. And also this is the time of year where like I need to not buy anything because it's like when people buy stuff for me. But also, I mean,
well, you're having a civil partnership soon as well, JD. Yeah, this could be your gift from me.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, just like a vat of honey picks. That'd be great. All the like an entire like one of everything.
But that would be honey the picks, confetti at the
great. It'll be eco glitter. It'll be great.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Okay, so next on our list, we've got to talk about strings. Yeah. They're an obvious stocking filler, dear listener. And what better a string company to talk about than String Joy? You know, dear listener, they're fantastic. There's a reason that Tone Mob and Guitar Nerds, you know, are both big fans, and 40 Watt Podcast are big fans of String Joy, and it is because they make absolutely fantastic plectrums. Not only that, they've excelled. Sorry, plectrums, strings.
Yeah. I was like, what do they? Well, I'll check those. Yeah,
They've also excelled far beyond strings to make a fantastic website that's full of wonderful information. You know, great source of just guitar nerds knowledge, as well as making great strings. But the best thing about String Joy is, of course, that they do custom shop strings, so you can have any gauges you like, they will make. And I think that is very cool.
Yeah,
that, especially, you know, coupled with the fact that they're very reasonable prices, it's well worth checking out.
Yeah, also, I they do make picks. So they do have a lovely range of picks. I also just saying the same thing about String Joy, like String Joys are what I have on my Kramer that I've been recording with recently. So I'm very picky about strings, like more so than I really want to be. But I've been really, really enjoying them, like the ones I have on my Kramer. But again, what you're saying is about the custom gauges. It's really cool and important because I always feel like that's something that's missing. Like that wasn't around in any sort of reasonable, affordable way when the podcast initially started. You know, there was no way besides buying two sets. And since we're both bassists, that's incredibly cost inefficient. and probably then I was still playing like five strings or stuff like that. So,
yeah,
you know, you're paying $30 for a B string alone for most sets, you know?
Yeah, this is it. This is a really recent thing that interesting, whatever strings you want has been an option. It was why when during lockdown, dear listener, I went through this big short scale phase that String Joy were able to provide me with strings for a short scale that I could get into D standard, as in 1, 2, 5 to 75.
Yeah.
But you know, it's so good that you can do those sort of things. But their standard gauges are great. I really like their Broadways, so I have their Broadways for standard electric guitar. Their Broadways are pure nickel, which I like. It's just an old school guitar string, nothing fancy, nothing coated, nothing over the top. It's an old school guitar string that sounds great. They do 12 to 52s, which is the correct gauge. And you know, they're it's a premium priced string. They're $14.90 straight off of their website, and if you're in the US, for a set of 12 to 52 nickel strings. But they are custom made, custom wound to an extremely high quality. I can't recommend them highly enough. If you want to actually get something quality for a guitar that you love, then there is nothing better than a String Joy string that you can possibly string it with.
Yeah, and it's a good time to sort of splash out on a couple sets of strings, you know, instead of just grabbing slinkies or just grabbing the same ones you've had for 15 years. You know, it's a good time to sort of go, I try something new. And so, and thinking of which, I think I'm going to pick up a couple sets because I want to restring my acoustic. And, you know, I frankly didn't know what to really get, but this has really made me think, like, maybe I'll just grab a couple sets of the naturals, or, you know, maybe I'll get coded because I don't really play it as much as I ought to. Interesting. Yeah. Great shout. Plus they look cool. Like I really like the packaging, like the, I mean, they're just in boxes, but you know, it feels signed
on the inside.
Yeah, it feels
every gifted. Set is signed by the person that wound them. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. It also gives you that touch of like, oh, someone made these. You know, it's not some just like giant factory
Terminator that's liquefying itself and then turning into, I don't know where I was going with that metaphor, but just imagine Terminator 2 making strings. That's fine.
There you go.
Cool.
I was learning recently about how long it would actually have taken the Terminator to break down in the lava pit.
I imagine it wouldn't be quite straightforward.
No, it's much longer, much longer. The whole end scene would have lasted like another movie.
Now imagine if that would have been like a post-credit scene. You know, it's like after you know, You Could Be Mine finishes. I don't remember what the credit song was. I think it was probably that. And then you just still see the Terminator being like, oh, everyone's gone. You know, and he's kind of like,
I'm all right. Thumbs up.
Yeah. It's like, I'm fine. It's like, I'll be back. Something like that. Very funny.
So another thing that I think that you should consider, dear listener, again, I put a little video up of this on Instagram recently, and I spoke about this on a previous podcast, Openhagen. They are guitar wall hangers that actually look good. That's the point. Yeah, they're not cheap, dear listener. You're looking at sort of between £50 and £60 for a wall hanger, which I understand. I guess that's a lot more than the sort of 15-20 quid I guess you'd pay for a normal one. But if you're thinking, and I mean specifically for this, because I'm not suggesting you spend £60 on a wall hanger just for wherever, but if you're planning to put this in your living room, like if you're not planning to put this in a lockup or your rehearsal space or your bedroom, maybe you want a guitar hanger that doesn't look rubbish, because guitar hangers do look rubbish. They look like tiny deers on your wall, deer heads on it. It's weird. No one wants that. They look naff. Openhagens not only look good, but they collapse back into the wall in a disc shape as well, which is pretty cool. And they do loads of different, like four different wood finishes. So you can get the wood finish that matches, I don't know, the legs on your sofa or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I saw that video, or I saw you were posting about, and I'm always on the lookout for like actual new innovation in guitar hangers, because I've only ever had in the last like 20 years, like the Hercules ones, because I think they're the most reliable, best ones.
Yeah, they are good, but they're the worst looking.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Hercules stuff looks rubbish, but it's so good.
Yeah. But the thing I was thinking about this, because like the fact that it does just collapse into like just looking like a little disc, like it looks like it's a carbon monoxide detector or something, but like a really nice one, like the wood grain ones just. It's like looks that size on the wall. But I was thinking about it, especially for places where maybe the guitar doesn't live there, like maybe it's your office or something like that. So you play guitar sometimes, or the guitar lives in its case most of the time. But if you're in a room where you may or may not, you know, be playing guitar constantly, if the guitar isn't hanging there, it's just a tiny little thing on the wall that just looks like it could be a Wi-Fi hotspot or something. You know, this makes it sound like it looks way techier than it is. It's very Scandi, right?
Yeah, but it's very like Scandinavian.
but it's like looking at it, and it just seems really cool. But it seems like the perfect solution to a space. Like if I might get some of these to have downstairs at ours, because it would be great to have a guitar hung there sometimes if I'm playing downstairs and want to get up because I'm making dinner or something like that. But I don't want a guitar hanger if the guitar is not there, because it's
right. Yeah, exactly. Ugly. Yeah, it looks weird. Yeah,
yeah. And these seem like really good, sturdy guitar. You know, I don't have direct experience with them, but I mean that's for you. But it seems like it's. I'm sure you don't get to, you know, a product doesn't get to market without, you know, actually going, yeah, it can hold a guitar, you know, but yeah, but it looks good. Yeah,
exactly. So if you're looking for a wall hanger for an important space in your house, dear listener, Openhagen, I think openhagen.com, or just check out the video link on our Instagram or wherever, Facebook. I think they're great. Let's talk about capos, shall we? G7th capos. See, they're I sort of I throw that in immediately. Like, I don't know if you have any alternative capo suggestions, but I just feel like G7th make the best capos. They're extremely good quality. The mechanism is actually reliable. It's not just a little spring. It's on that, you know, that it locks down onto your strings. They have a custom shop where you can have anything written on the front of your capo if you should want. What better a stocking filler than that, dear listener? Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I and to be fair, I've never heard the phrase capo custom shop before. But I am here for it, and I'm well in, and I mean I have played the G7s, and I like them a lot, and I think, you know, you're completely right in that it works really well. And that's always been a bit of my reluctance for capos. Also, I went to music school, and I just, everyone glaring at you if you're wearing, or if you put a capo on your guitar.
Oh, really?
But, you know, well, I just didn't think, it was like, oh, just learn how to play different chords. And it's like, oh yeah, right, yeah. But it's just like, certainly the performance series are the ones that I keep thinking about, which are, I think, are their more top, like the performance threes, I think they're
right.
They were, like, again, it's the same sort of thing we just keep talking about. It's like, it's just really nice to have really trustworthy, reliable tools. And if there's any time to really get that sort of lifelong piece of accessory, you know, like that's it's the holidays. It's yeah, stockings. It's a giftable thing, where it's not the capo that's just like the $10 capo hung, you know,
no,
like
exactly,
by the register at your local guitar shop. Like, it's a nice one. And the idea that you can get custom, like, that's ridiculous. I'm well into it. Like,
great.
Well,
it's great. My partner, Emma, got her dad a customized one with, like, one of his lyrics from his songs on the front. I thought that was what a lovely gift. They also, dear listener, do an 18-karat gold version.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
It's great. Only $90.
Yeah. I mean, it's well worth it. Like, certainly if you're in, like, a Prince tribute band or something, you know, like I just can't imagine. Like, oh, it's, they do look cool. And I mean, which again is nothing I've never said that about a capo before in my life, but I think it's great. Like, I highly recommend it. I think the one I have,
and dear listener, if you want to get something that is a little bit different, that makes you a bit more creative, I've got their Newport 3-string partial capo.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think I might have mentioned before on the podcast, but I love this capo because it makes me think outside of the box, because it can do it, because you can put it round in any position. You can put it over the top or over the underside, and it can come over your top or bottom 3 strings, or it can come 1 string in. You can actually have several combinations, or 4 different combinations, I guess, of strings that are capoed, and you partner that with maybe dropping your E string to a D, and you can create some really interesting open tunings. It's what I really liked was actually just popping it somewhere and then trying some hand shapes and seeing what occurred. And I found it to be a really interesting, useful tool for thinking out, just trying something and ending up with something fun. You know, I thought it was it was really good for exactly that.
I mean, I think that's the one. I mean, that's cool.
If you've got everything, really, that's the next thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. That's the thing you should get. Like,
capos.
Capos. Capos, exactly. Now, we have got so many more things to talk about. We're going to talk about them over in the Patreon, but we're going to do so at least one more before we head over there. Clip-on tuners is my next thing. Dear listener, you might be balking. You might be like, I don't want a clip-on tuner because, you know, I have a tuner on my pedal board. Or you might be thinking, well, I play at home a lot and a clip-on tuner is an excellent solution, but I only have to spend a couple of quid on one and they do the trick. There is nothing wrong with having a fully professional clip-on tuner, and clip-on tuners have come on a long way in the last little while. the brand that I kind of want to talk about the most is Peterson. That's right. The brand that make the strobe tuner, dear listener, they make a clip-on strobe tuner, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm well, like, I love the Peterson stuff. Like, just, it is studio level accurate. Yeah. Which is I really enjoy. And also, you probably know this too, but like, as someone who plays in alternate tunings or with lower tuning, including up to and including bass, tuners are, they're varying levels of reliability, right? You know, certainly. And the Peterson stuff has always been incredibly accurate. Like, even the most inexpensive stuff I've ever played of theirs has been sort of heads and tails above, like, a lot of the cheaper versions you can get, you know, like where you get a clip-on tuner that is just technically a thing that exists and tells you roughly if that's an E or a G. But, you know, like, it's, yeah, it's really cool. I hadn't really seen the clip-on tuners too much because I broadly hate the idea of ever gigging with a clip-on tuner.
I see occasionally I'll go and see jazz bands and they'll have clip-on tuners and I'm like, god damn it.
The other thing I find about clip-on, so this is more of a public service announcement, and I think this should really be the name of the episode because it's the last few minutes and I think it's still going to wind someone up, but it's like the clip-on tuner can also go behind your guitar. There are ways to make it so that the audience doesn't just mostly see your clip-on tuner, and that's okay. So, you know, play around with positioning, and also tuner doesn't have to go on the headstock. It can find some place so that no one can see it besides you, and or take it off between songs. That's fine. You know, do a little bit of tuning between and then take it off and go, oh, I'm actually, people can see what I'm doing. Yeah. Or continue to wear your white socks and your Teva sandals, whatever you want to do.
The strobo clip, the Peterson strobo clip, it's $59, dear listener, for a strobe tuner that is incredibly accurate, more accurate than probably any other clip-on tuner. I really love on their website that they just it's got 740 reviews somewhere. I have no idea where. I don't know. Amazon? I've no idea. 740 reviews. It's got almost a complete 5 stars from those. And just on their website, they've just got reviews coming up. But they haven't, like, picked the best ones. They've just, like, they've got them with spelling mistakes and all. I mean, this is a 5-star review, so they've obviously got them picking 5-star reviews, but it says very accurate tuner with 2 Ys. That could be deliberate. Very accurate clip-on tuner, not as hard to use as some have stated. I probably wouldn't have that on your front page of your website. It does have a bit of a learning curve, but its accuracy makes it worthwhile. I have used it on a tenor ukulele and a ukulele U-bass and an electric bass, all with great success. Actually, for what it's worth, I do agree with that. There is a learning curve. When I first started using strobe tuners, I was like, what is happening? Why are these things moving? And, you know, you're supposed to predict the direction and slow that direction. I was like, can't you just tell me if it's in or not? I don't understand why this is better. But once you're used to it, it is very, very, organic. Feels like it works with you, you know.
I think it's interesting because it's such an old version of technology that is kind of because, you know, you look at the really, really old electronic measuring equipment, which is basically what the tuner is.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it was all meant to be strobe, so you could measure it with your eye as opposed to needing, like, actual readings from it. And so it's almost like a quaint throwback, but feels like a more kind of modern weird take on it, as opposed to like you see, like, the old, like, Sabines or like the old Boss tuner I think we all probably had when, you know, we started playing and stuff, and it's like, oh, that's 2 red dots flat, now I'm moving it closer, now it's green, great. You know, assuming you can see, you know, red green color differences and stuff. But the thing that I do really like about this strobo clip, because I have seen it at shows and stuff, is that it One, I just read that it does go down to 16 hertz, which is
wow,
very cool. And is, you know, yeah, for a clip on, and is, you know, 16 hertz. So like what low B is, what 30 hertz, is that where it is? I think something like that. And so, yeah, it's, I mean, you could probably go to like a low F or something on it, and it's
crazy.
It
would be,
yeah. And just the fact that, like, you know, I play in a lot of dark environments a lot of times, like stage and or rehearsal space is often quite dark. And a lot of clip-on tuners especially are really hard to see in dark environments and or in really bright environments. Because my other favorite tuner is a Planet Waves, the NS, so the Steinberger design little micro tuners.
Yeah.
Because they're so tiny, they're really good. But in the daytime, it can be difficult to actually see the screen and to make sure that it's sort of it doesn't do what I want it to do, which is what we've been talking about all the time, which is just reliable, trustworthy, I know it'll work when I need it to work sort of thing. And it feels like the strobo clips, like what a great thing just to have. Just I mean, I have clip-on tuners all over the house, really, but that's mostly my cleanliness issues. It's basically just like, it's like, oh, wherever I am, there's a tuner in whatever room, probably. So I think it'd be cool. I'll probably pick one up because I love Peterson stuff. So.
Yeah, they're really good. Very, very good. And if you get through the learning curve, dear listener, it's better than any other clip-on tuner probably that you can get. We highly recommend them here at Guitar Nerds. Now, that is about it for the regular episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. JD and I are going to head over to Patreon, patreon.com/guitar nerds. Dear listener, join us there if you haven't joined us there yet. We're going to talk about other things, other clip-on tuners. We're going to be talking about straps. We're going to be talking about effects pedal kits. We're going to be talking about cheap effects pedals, other accessory things, guitar cables, little affordable amps. There's so many things that you should get for your Christmas stocking filler that we're going to be talking about over there. But do join us. This is the penultimate episode of the year. So yeah, join us for the rest of this Christmas stocking filler for guitarist special, which will be the title of this podcast, unless I make it something towards the end of the podcast.
How to intonate your vintage Gibson.
Something like that, exactly. Thank you very much for listening, dear listener. You are absolutely wonderful. We've been the Guitar Nerds. You have been lovely. We'll see you next week for more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
I treasure your friendship.
Thank you very much, you wonderful people. Thank you especially to our $10 top tier Patreon backers. Very soon, some of you will be receiving your goodie bags, but for now, thank you very much to Nicholas Strom, Rocket Rob Patterson, Marcus Deluxe, Suresh, Dorsonic Pickups, Rob Witherden, Chris Franklin, Anton Fryant, Russ Meehan, Barry Gresbick, Steve Davis, Daniel Walker, John Conaway, Russell Healing, Yogi the Guitarist, Ty Allen, Kyle Harris, Sean Hughes, Andy Hoffler, Eric Hemmer, Jeffrey Wax, Dan Pilver, Brian Einsler, Dylan Griffiths, Mark Izao Kadawaki, Eric File, Peter Peche, Andy Manley, Joe Puttick, Blake Weiland, Phil Radomski, Dave Lee, Ross Edwards, Jason Wharton, James Dorr, Jake Gray, Derek Rich, Scott Kennedy, Steve Merkel, Abe Matthews, Christopher Losef, Stephen Burke, Robin Smith, Kytopia the Band, JD Short, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Rob Nordvik, Scott O'Brien, and Moog Gravit.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.